Union of University of Healing, California. And Herbert's been into New Thought for most of his life, or all of his life, or... Unity, religious science. And I mentioned the name. Oh, I met him. Well, I said, how about this guy? Emmett, I poked at Emmett Fox, and, oh, yeah, I met him. And Joel Goldsmith, oh, yeah. Ernest Holmes, boy, Phil Morris, he's known them all. And then he told me a story last night. Can I share that?
I don't know if you can share, but go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I told him a lot of stories last night.
Yeah. Anyway, he was telling me about his meeting with the previous pope, and he got the pope to sneak out of the Vatican and go dancing with him.
Great girls.
Yeah. So, Matt, that's kind of New Thought master I want to emulate. So, I present you the master, Herbert Byerly. When I get up there, I want somebody to sneak me out and take me dancing too.
It sounds like a joke, doesn't it? It sounds like the figment of someone's imagination. Well, you guess it however you wish. You think about it however you wish, and however you wish, that's what it is for you. Whatever it is that you wish, that's what it is for you. You know, Carol was talking about, see, I got long eyesight here. Carol was talking about prayer and putting prayer treatments in the prayer box back here. Well, that's a big joke. That's a big joke. Randy and I were touring town yesterday and looking at all sorts of lovely things. And Randy said, yes, I would treat that this would be done and that that would be done and that we could have and that this could be. And I said, Randy, you will never have any of those things till you say, and so it is. It is done. Anytime you call the Worldwide Healing Ministry in Campbell, California, toll-free, the number's back there, and you listen to our Dial a Healing Word that I have every week on the toll-free number, and then it gives you the number of our corporate offices, and when you call the corporate offices, everybody in our corporation is a practitioner. And so then you say to the practitioner, I got a broken leg. And the practitioner says, good, you want two of them? And you say, what sort of nonsense is this? And the practitioner says, tell us what it is that you want to experience. Not what it is that you are experiencing that you don't want. What it is that you want to experience. Jesus the Christ said to each of us, what wouldst thou of me? I am the Christ. I can only see you in my perfect eyes. And you have a perfectly broken leg. You have a perfect disease. You have a perfect world of problems. Now, what do you want? What wouldst thou of me? He asked. And I would be whole. Wow! Naturally, that's your reality. That's who you are, being whole and being perfect and being fantastic. That's who you are. I am so happy that that's what you want in your life, the wholeness and perfection that you are. Now, when you write a treatment in your prayer treatment box back here, and do write them, I am whole and perfect now. My husband is whole and perfect now. My wife is whole and perfect now. My grandmother, my mother-in-law, you know, and whoever it is whole and perfect now. Not the old girl is a mean old son of a so-and-so, and she deserves everything she's getting. That's what you're thinking. But no, stop it. Because if that's how you see her, and that's how you see the world, then that's how you are. And you can be sure that it's going to shower blessings upon you of unhappiness, of illness, of lack. So don't be the harbinger of that sort of thing. Be the harbinger of truth. Yes, the Pope is a very fine man. the one who just left us, the one who they buried because somebody else wanted to be the Pope. You know, let him rest in peace, the poor man. He has nothing. The Pope didn't have a lot of problems. But he gave them the opportunity to say, okay, I'll go on to my next dimension. I've had fun here. But you see, he did. And I've had that privilege. I don't need to tell you the story because it'll sound too ludicrous, so I'll let Randy tell you at a future time. But the thing is, the more ludicrous it is, the more true it is. I mean, the more outrageous things are, the more true it is. Randy, you are an independently wealthy person. You're independently wealthy. Do you find that ludicrous? No. Because if you find that ludicrous, then you too are finding your own independent wealth ludicrous. So speak your word that you are independently wealthy now. I am whole and perfect now. May Roland, the Gestapo agent of Unity, at Unity School of Christianity in Silent Unity, the terrible, terrible, terrible woman who trained us student ministers there. We had to type every envelope perfectly. This was the day before computers, the day before automatic letter writing. And we student ministers were given this test of perfection, of learning to follow orders. And if we had 6 envelopes in the wastebasket at the end of the week, and you couldn't erase with mistakes on, we didn't get to continue the course with her. And so then if you did well, and you can, your fingers will do exactly what your brain tells it to do. And I always make mistakes. I'm always stupid. Well, don't say that. That's not true. You are God. This is divine. This is the divine in you. That's who you are. And I haven't even got to any of my notes yet. But the thing is, you're divine. You're wonderful. You're fantastic. And so the good students, and I was one of them, didn't have our wastebasket full. So the next challenge that we were given was to write the letter. They give you a form letter to send to people who have cancer, and a form letter for people who have a cold, a form letter for people who want abundance, and so forth like that. And that's good. That's good. Because it's the same statement to everybody. And so we had to type the form letter. Dear Herbert Byerly, you know, I see you independently wealthy. You know, and I would type it to myself first, you know, just to get the habit of use them. And I liked having those things said about me, and I liked having them said about me, you know. So we typed those letters and sent them to people. And they spoke their word for the reality of what they wanted to experience. You speak your word for the reality. When you call the Tao of Healing word, when you call the campus of the University of Healing, and you say, I am whole and perfect. Treat with me on this. You are whole and perfect now. I see it done. It is done. And God bless you. And so it is. Bye. And hey, poof, that doesn't sound like much counseling. That doesn't. Hey, no, we don't counsel people. We speak our word and claim the truth about them now. And this morning in our little prayer center here, we were saying, please pray for my dear friend who is doing this. Please pray for my dear stupid little jerk who's not got the message yet that he's whole and perfect. Please pray for him. Well, that's not nice at all. When your little child acts up, you don't say, look, you stupid little brat, you're acting up and you're being terrible. You say, my sweet little loved one, you are always a beautiful child. You always behave. You always do lovely things. I'm so proud of you. And they've just been absolutely terrible. But you see beyond it. You plant the seeds of truth, of righteousness, of right action in them, and they give it to you. My dog, I say, sit, sit, sit. And then finally he sits. And so I take out the whip and I whip him. I say, you didn't sit, you didn't sit, you didn't sit. No, no, no. I would blow the whole thing. I said, oh, you're so wonderful. You sat down. Oh, I love you. You're such a good dog. You sat down. You sat down. Finally, you sat down, you know. And every time he sits down, I hug him and I bless him. I say, oh, Rex, you're such a good dog. You sit so nice, you know. And then I say, lay down. Oh, Rex, you lay down so good, you know. It took me 50 times to get him to do that, you know. But he got the message. And each time, Rex, you're getting there. You're understanding me. Now, lay down. good boy. Oh, Rex, you're so wonderful. You know, and I mean it. I mean it. Because I am not interested in Rex not sitting. I am interested in Rex sitting. And so, therefore, I see Rex sitting. And I see Rex whole and perfect. I see Rex fantastic, you know? And we have people calling on the phone, and they don't ever want to talk to me. They want to talk to our women on campus, because the women have this mollycoddling bit, you know. I say, don't do that. Tell them they're whole and perfect, and goodbye. Don't sit on the phone and talk for a half an hour. We're paying for that. It's a free phone call, you know. But say to them, you're whole and perfect, you're fantastic, you're glorious. One woman called up from Florida, and she says, there's a hurricane, what are we going to do? And I said, surround your home with your pure white light of love and know that all is in divine order. All is in divine order. She says, but that's too easy. I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then she called back later when the hurricane passed, and she says, the hurricane passed, but it blew over my mailbox. I said, my God, what's your problem? You know? I mean, if you had been a little more definite and a little more sincere, it wouldn't have got the mailbox either, you know? Well, May Rowland, this terror of unity and this glorious woman, she was in her living room one day in Kansas City and on the outskirts. And as she was there, she looked out the front window and she was at the end of a street and she saw a cloud, a twister, coming right to her house. And she says, no, no. And it went on both sides of her house and didn't touch her house. This is a true story. This is unbelievable. And that's the thing about the Pope. It's unbelievable. But it's a true story. And it went poof right around her house, untouched. And she says, thank you, God. You know? Wouldn't you say thank you, God? I mean, thank you, Twister, for not going around my house, for not going through my house, going around it. Thank you, Twister. I don't even want to recognize a Twister, you know? I don't even want to recognize anything. All I know is that my home is surrounded by my pure white light of love. I've trained in unity, and silent unity, and unity, School of Christianity. I've trained in religious science. I've been associate editor of the Science of Mind magazine for years, and all these other good things, and I've had churches here and there and everywhere. And this is the message that I give every time. I say, I have seen it. I have seen it. Oh, I've met these wonderful people, but big deal. That's name dropping, you know. But did I get their message? Did I live what they taught me to live? That's the thing that matters. Do you live what you have been taught to live? Jesus said, you are a bunch of farts. Jesus said, you're good for nothing. Jesus said, you should die before you even get out of the cradle. He didn't say such dumb stuff. He said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He said, God is a God of love. God is a God of love that loves all of you. And God doesn't know anything about your problems. He only knows about your solutions. God wants you to have everything. And our songbook, keep putting God out there, the Father above will come down with love. And these lights still aren't on. And that's a crazy, stupid thing. It's a crazy, stupid thing. Who gave you that message? Jesus didn't. God didn't in you. You know you're number one. You know you're fantastic. You know you're glorious. But God didn't give you such a silly message. Then who must have done it? Get thee behind me, Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said, Jesus, don't go dying. We don't want you to die. And Jesus said, look, I got my own show to do. You know, it's my game. And you're playing on my theater here. You know, you're my 12, my backup boys, you know. And I love you. But I'm going to go through this experience, because if I don't and I die just another Messiah, the world will not have gained the message that I have to give to them. Yeah, they'll forget all about me if I don't put a little drama and a little pizzazz in there. And Jesus was the greatest pizzazzer that ever lived, you know. And he was. And this is not disrespect in any way. He knew that he not only was the Son of God, he knew that he was God. Because God is in as through everything that exists. There is no place where God is not. And if you ever say you're not God, you're saying that there's a place where God is not. And you better not say that, because then who you're linking with? Get thee behind me, Satan. You know. And we don't want to link with anything but our divinity. Right, Brian? Right on. Angie? Right on. And Dorothy is back with the little one? Right on. And that's your new one? Right on. I tell you, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Such is the kingdom. And where does God abide? In the kingdom of heaven. And where is the kingdom of heaven? Within you and within me. Now, let me get to my notes here. Okay. Education's magic kingdom. Please be aware, they didn't even put that title in here. What a silly thing not to do. Education's magic kingdom. This is this is what? Education's magic kingdom. Yeah. This is education's magic kingdom. This is where you are educated unto the kingdom within you. This is where you are educated to realize that you are the center of the universe. Every child could tell you that, but we teach them that he isn't later on. What do you think you are? The pure white driven snow? You know, don't you know? But Mom, I'm number one. You know. And if Mom teaches them that they're number one, Mother will not misunderstand what they mean. They're the creator of their world. Little children will give away their toys and they don't care. If you're going to give away your toys, then I got to buy you new toys. My gosh, this thing moves. You got to buy you new toys, you know? And no, you don't. Because if I give Randy my shirt and Randy wears it and he says, that's a nice shirt. I know my dad would love that because the vibrations of Herb are still in there. We haven't washed it yet. And so I'm going to give it to my dad now. And so he'll have my vibrations and Herb's vibration. And you know what's going to happen to my dad? He'll just come right up out of is he still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then he didn't have to come out of the grave. He's still alive and he will feel fantastic and glorious. And he'll get back on his horse again. How old is he?
77.
77? He's a kid yet. But you see, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Do you believe in yourself? Now, my statement here, I am locked in a body brain which is programmed for survival. Your body and your brain have been running the show for so long that they have forgotten that they're not really in charge. I go on a diet. I went on a 40-day water diet a number of years ago. I have been on other types of diets for 30 days and stuff like that and felt super every time I'm doing them and every time I'm in them. I just feel wonderful alive. My body does not say to me, Herb, you're hungry. Herb, you should be eating. Herb, you've been on a diet these many days. Don't you know you cannot do that? This doesn't work. Your body needs it. My body didn't say that. As I said to my body, body, I'm going on vacation. I'm going on a diet. Now, just relax and go along with me. Play the game, body. And my body says, okay. And it is not hungry, not even after the first couple of days. It is not feeling that it's missing out on something. I smell, the first time I did this, I had to cook for my son. My wife was away, and so I would cook my son's meals, and I would make him all sorts of good things to eat. And, oh, they smell so good. I'm a good cook. And they smelled so good, and they were so wonderful. But I had no desire to eat it because I told myself I'm on this diet, and I choose to do it. And so my body listened to me. My mind listened to me. They behaved, and they realized that I was the boss. Now, you know, and I want you all to practice this right now, scientists have been fooling around with rats. And they feed rats a normal diet, and they will live a normal lifetime with the normal diseases and other things that they have. When they fed rats a starvation diet, they lived 7 to 15 lifetimes longer. Lifetimes! And they were healthier, and they were happier. And then when they put rats in a playful environment, which stimulated their mind, and they would run in their cage, and they would look at the mirror and say, oh, what are they going to do? Grab my mind. And yes, they do. They do that. And you see, the scientists were in charge of the rats. The rats couldn't say, I'm hungry, I want something to eat, because they just were given less and less until they were on the starvation diet. And so they had only the amount that their body absolutely needed to live a happy, healthy rat life. Now, we don't learn very quickly from the experiences that we're told about, but we think we have to eat because we're hungry. We have to do this, we have to do that. And no way, no way. We are the master of our life, the master of our body, the master of our thoughts, the master of everything that goes on, if we wish to be. And if not, then we are not. It's up to us. What do you want out of life? Do you want to have your body run you? Your brain run you? Your brain says, oh, I've got to have something to read. I've got to have something to read. So you pick up a novel, and you pick up something that's putting garbage in your mind. And Randy has been showing me a number of things that have been interesting to him. And I said to him, hey, that's cool. That's cool. These interesting Bibles and interesting interpretations and interesting things. And I said, Randy, I said, you are an absolute, unadulterated idiot. I said, Randy, you have missed, now you know I didn't say this yet, but Randy, you have missed the boat. Randy, listen, and I said to Susan, Susan, you are not a spiritual person. A spiritual person is a seeker, one who seeks their spirituality. A divine person is a revealed divine being. The divine in you is what your revelation of who you are. And Susan says, oh, yes, I am divine. And I said, well, that's great. That's really who you are. Then stop saying that you are a spiritual being on the path. What path are you on? The path to my divinity. Well, the divinity is within you. So, if Randy would take his very active, very capable, very amazing mind and begin to investigate the Bible that is in him, the Bible of who Randy is, he would find it more fascinating, more revealing, more inclusive of every area of his life. And he would find the Bible would teach him, the Bible within him, teaching him, Randy, you are independently wealthy. I said, I like that. Randy, you're whole and perfect. I like that. Randy, you are divine. Yes, I like that. I like that. And on and on and on with all these truths about him. We had a lady come to our seminar yesterday, and I said, everybody else was there early, and she came just a little late. And I said, who are you? And then I whispered to her, I'm number one. And she says, she had to swallow a couple of times, and finally she said, I'm number one. But she didn't really believe it. But you see, the thing is, that's the trouble with us. We are number one. We are the creator of our world. Now, Randy is creating a school in which he is teaching people how to be aware of their divinity. And Susan is teaching in that school. Now you say, well, it's Susan and Randy's school. It is not. It is not. It's Randy's school alone. It is Susan's school alone. Susan does her thing and Randy does his thing. They happen to be the same thing, which is very nice. But you see, they are number one. Each is number one. If Randy went in there and saying, this is our school, this is our this, this is our this, my wife and I, we do this, my wife and I, we do this. Hey, Randy, haven't you got a mind of your own? Haven't you got a direction of your own? Don't you have a thought of your own in your own head? And Randy says, well, yes, of course. Well, why are you saying my wife and I? Well, because it's our school. No, it isn't. It's your school. People come to me and they say, I like the philosophy of the University of Healing. Oh, the philosophy of the University of Healing is so great, the philosophy. I said, what is the philosophy of the University of Healing? It says, I'm number one. Well, that doesn't allow you to say you like the philosophy of the University of Healing. You like your philosophy, which says, I am number one. Be yourself and have fun. Be who you are. Live who you are. If you're going to go around this world and you're going to say that I,
was trained under Charles Fillmore, and I was trained under Ernest Holmes, and I was trained under Sai Baba, and I was trained under Yogananda, and I was trained under Randy Barnes, and I was trained under Susan Barnes, two different teachers, you know, and I was trained under Brian, not Barnes, but Robelin. Is that correct, Robelin? Say it. Robillard. 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 Okay. Well, now, what the heck is all this about? Who are you trained under? You're trained under the divine within you. You could say the Christ within you, depending upon how weak you are. If you say, the divine within me guides me into everything right and good, go to the Father within. Who the hell is the Father within? What do I want to fool around the Father within about? The Father within is our divinity. It's another word for it. It's another word for God. Now, most of you are saying you worship capital G-O-D. And I say, that's fine. You're worshiping the Christian God. Ooh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I don't worship the Christian God. I worship the one lowercase God, the God of the universe, the God of the allness, the only God there is, the God of the infinity of all. I don't worship the channeled down God that Christianity has brought to it. Jesus didn't teach that. Jesus taught the universal God. You know, the Hebrews were such a weak bunch that all of the history of the Hebrew teachings, they never had a word for God. They never used the word God. They didn't. It was only later that the word God, Yahweh, and other terms were used for God. But the thing is, they never taught it because they believed in the allness of the universe. They believed in the grandness of all. And why was Moses so unhappy with his followers? Because they were worshiping a golden calf. They were worshiping an isness rather than an allness. And you worship the allness within you of the divine that's within you and start believing in it. Because that's what you do anyhow. You only do what you believe. You don't do what anybody else believes. You only do what you believe. And you think that you're so wonderful and so fantastic. You know, you think you can tell your children how they should grow up. You think you should tell your children what they should learn in school. You're very foolish. If you would listen to your children before they go to school, you would find that they know everything already. Ask them, they'll tell you. And if you will allow your children to start telling you, you'll say, let me sit by your side and talk to me about all these things that you know. Because I have learned that that's not so, and I've learned that's not so, and I know it is so in my heart, but and you know it's so in your heart, and you don't know that it's not so in your heart yet because you haven't been taught that. How wonderful. Now, listen. Jesus gave us the cue so well. Let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Listen to the child in you. Why is it that senility and childhood seem to come along at the same time? When you're a little child, a baby, everybody treats you like a stupid infant, you know, that you don't know anything, that you have to learn how to walk, you have to learn how to do it. You don't have to learn how to do it. You already know how. It's just that your body hasn't been developed to use those muscles yet. That's all. That's all. You know how to do all those things. It's just that your vehicle has not been put into shape for doing this just yet. That's all. And as your vehicle grows, then it can do all these things. Can you ride on a unicycle, any of you? Ha, ha, ha. It takes balance. Can you take a skateboard and go rip, 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 and wow, what those kids do is a lovely thing. And what do the parents, oh, don't get hurt, don't get, oh, shut up, don't think such thoughts. Say, what a marvelous, skillful being you are.
You do these things day in and day out and day in and day out, and your skill grows more magnificent. It's from within you. And you believe it. And you know what those kids do? They fly. Did you ever see a skier coming down the Alps? You see them in the movies as they're running these Olympic events. And they get up there, they dance around, and they twist, and they flip, and they turn, and they come right side up, because they are totally skillful. They know what they're doing. They're having fun. And what would you do if you were kind of, you'd be scared silly. Because you have learned to be frightened. What are you scared silly of? That you're going to hurt yourself? You shouldn't be doing that hill then. If you're going to go down that hill, you're going to go down and exercise all of the magnificence, the genius, the creativity that is within your heart and soul. That's who you are. That's when you're in charge of your body. I am locked in a body brain which is programmed for survival, and I say no. You use this body like a child to express yourself on earth as a being here. But are you a human being or are you a divine being? On bumper stickers it says, I'm only human. No, you're not. If that's who you are, then you're only a dog. And even a dog is not human, thank God. A dog is whatever its master creates it being. What do you create yourself being? Do you create yourself being a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious being? Well, then go for it. If that's what you create yourself. Now, I say, one mind in me and in all, and I can live and use it for whatever I desire. Now, these stupid kids doing all the skateboard stuff, my goodness, think you got to close your eyes and not see it, you know. The kids walking across the roof of the barn, and you say, my child, I'm not the roof of the barn, but don't say a thing. Just say, hey, Freddy. Yeah, Mom? I got some ice cream for you. And he will come down as safe and secure and wonderful as can be. But you say, get off the roof, you kill yourself. And you put fear in him, and he falls off the roof and kills himself. Thank you very much. How wonderful of you to love your child so, to make him kill himself. Rather, you say, ice cream. And his genius finds a way to come down. He grabs the gutter and he slides on down. And it tumbles all over him, but not before he reaches the ground. He's the master. I mean, kids are a master, but we don't give them credit for it. You know what Dorothy does? She is a little master. She just needs guidance so that she will be cooperative with human sociological conduct. And that's just because we think that she has to be a proper daughter, a proper girl, you know. And when we get Grandma out of the way of her thinking that she has to be a proper girl, that she what? She what?
She is.
She is. You see? She knew it. She knew it. She is. And thank goodness Grandma is thinking like that. Mama, you thinking that way too? Daddy, you thinking that way too? Yes. Brian, you married into this family that has this lovely little girl now, and she's now your daughter, and she wants to take on your name and so forth. Now, is she the most fabulous little girl in the entire universe? Is she always making you so proud of her? Is she always making you feel like, my goodness, I could never have even dreamed of having a daughter so magnificent, and here she is. Is that what your thoughts are all the time? Yes. So, you see, that's what his thoughts are all the time. And a little encouragement to my side here. But, you see, if that is what we all think, if that is what we all think about our children, the jolly children, how are they? Fabulous, jolly, yes, jolly. They're fabulous. And did they try their wings on different things? Sure. Did they find out it wasn't as successful as they wanted to? Sure. Then they let it go. Did it hurt them in any way? No. They just learned a lesson and they said, hey, that's not where I want to be. Did any of your other children act like that? And perhaps not in that particular area, but did they act like they were independent little jerks? Yes. And you woke up to the fact that they weren't jerks, that they were divine beings listening to the God within. And you know, you say, well, if you listen to God within and then you act like that, what kind of God is that within? No, it's what kind of a filter do you have over your awareness of God within? You see, we all act upon the power within us, the energy within us, the activity within us, and we put filters over our brain so that our brain receives only what we want it to receive. And the different Lily, who is teaching people to use drugs and things like that, and saying, hey, that's cool, and we go through the 70s and stuff with all that nonsense, and there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with taking cocaine. There's nothing wrong with taking all these drugs. Sherlock Holmes did it. Of course, he was a fictional character. And many other people did it, and they came through just fine, you know. But, Randy, I'm taking you on a trip with me down the Mississippi River and out into across the Caribbean, through the Panama Canal and up on the coast of Mexico up to San Diego. And Randy says, over my dead body, you know. He says, I am not taking such a journey. And so I give Randy a relaxant pill, and he falls asleep, you know, abracadabra. And I put him in a canoe, and I take him on the trip. And so he comes to as we arrive in San Diego. He says, hey, this is a neat little canoe. What are we doing? I said, you have just taken a trip down the Mississippi River, through the Caribbean, through the Panama Canal, and up the coast of Mexico, and here we are in San Diego. He says, you are kidding. I said, no, we got pictures to show you. Here you are sleeping, and there is Panama Canal. Here you are sleeping. And he says, no, it can't be. But you see, your body can accomplish anything. They send you into outer space and other things and bring you back. And do you know why the astronauts have conditions in their body that, from weightlessness and other things, that make their body less than perfect? Because they think it will. If the astronauts would say to themselves, I go with a perfect body and I return with a perfect body. It's all in the mind. If the astronaut went to sleep and was sent into outer space and came back, and his body would naturally atrophy just a little bit because of the lack of food, unless you were feeding him intravenously. And he would come out of it, and you would have him say, stand up, and he would stand up, and you'd say, no, his muscles have not been used. He didn't know his muscles had not been used. And so his muscles would be in perfect condition. There would be nothing that would atrophy them. And when you say, well, the spacelessness and the weightlessness, no. Those are all things of the mind. And you say, well, Herb, you're going against scientific truths. And I said, that's true. And you know, Jesus said, all time is now in his own way. He says, now is the acceptable time for your good. Now! And we say, can't be. Now science is coming to the conclusion, all time is now. And all space is here. And the only time for you to be who you are and what you are is now. Right now. You all, including me, have been on a long sleep. A sleep from the time we were little children, and then we began to be anesthetized by our parents and our society that we didn't know. And so we started to believe that we didn't know. We knew. But we started to think that we didn't know. We acted as though we didn't know. And so we got the results. But now we can know. Here we go. I can take one of two routes of being outstanding. I can study what this body is and how the brain functions. I can become a psychoanalyst. I can become a psychotherapist. I can become a I can become all of these interesting things. But is that the route I want to go? Is that the route? What route do Susan and Randy teach? They teach that all is good. They teach that Some things are more beneficial to us than others, but all is good. They don't deny that, I mean, they don't say you should not have things. They just say these things are highly beneficial to your highest and your best. And you see, now that's the big step. That's the big step. Most of us, I will not smoke, I will not drink, I will not. That gets you no place. That gets you no place except desiring to have what you say you will not do. But when you say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and I put into my beautiful ideal spirit, mind, and body good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. I put the finest food in my body, the finest. I don't put anything into my body that isn't highly recommended by my spirit, by my consciousness, by my understanding. And I'm reading books about these things, which I don't have to read, because I already know what is the finest and best for me to eat. Do you go to the store and buy the cheesy, cheap peanut butter? Or do you go to the store and buy the best peanut butter? Do you go to the store and buy day-old veggies that are wilting and rotting? Or do you buy fresh, alive, alert, beautiful veggies that delight and please you? Do you go to the store and buy salted nuts, which put more salt in your body than is harmonious for your fine working? Or do you take natural nuts and you walk, and then you wonder why you're fat? So you take two or three nuts and you chew on them 50, 60 times. You know, the gurus, like Swami Rama's guru in India. Swami Rama would eat rice with his fellow acolytes who were there, acolytes or whatever they call themselves, and the guru would eat with him. He would take one grain of rice and chew on it for the whole day. He would make that grain of rice be his meal, but he didn't eat it. And he was sleeping on the ground with Swami as they were traveling, and he saw that Swami was cold, so he just wore a loincloth, you know, and so he took his blanket that he carried and put it on Swami Rama. Swami Rama woke up and found out that he put the blanket on him, and so he put the blanket back on the master, and the master put it back on him again. But you see, the thing is, he was not cold. He lived in his mind. He lived in his spirit. He lived in his divine self. And you, too, have that same opportunity. But you feel you're going to be cold at night. You feel you need this. Could you lie on your bed naked at night and in your house, whatever temperature it may be, and feel comfortable? Or would you feel a little chilly? Would you feel a little uncovered, unprotected? You know, try it sometime. Try going to sleep in the middle of the afternoon for half an hour or at night without anything covering you, and just lay there in the privacy of your room and say, I am peace, I am cozy, I am wonderful. Watch how you develop the ability to be master of your body, to be master of who you are. Well, that's neat stuff. Or do I recognize there is one universal intelligence, and it is my source of every experience and every level of consciousness that I could ever want? Neat stuff, you know. This stuff I could go on for hours with if you like, but we've already come to the conclusion of our service today. But it doesn't bother me. I love sharing. And you see, you think some of the things that Randy tells you that I told him, and I probably shouldn't have, about the activities and experiences in my life, I will digress, which is not a digression. Each one of you here today are thrilled with what I'm saying. I can see it in your faces and your eyes. Each one of you here are thrilled, but that's nothing. Each one of you here, every night, when you let your conscious mind go to sleep, your subconscious, if you will, or your superconscious, however you want to term it, it's not tired. And so It is like a little child. It is saying, life is so exciting. I am going to go out and get involved in it. And so then you go over and meet with the Pope. And the Pope says, well, hi, Herb, how are you? And we had never met before. And how the heck do you know my name? Well, you think I'm stupid, you know. I'm the allness. Yeah, so you are, and so am I. And so then I say, you know, Pope, you've been sort of stuck up in your office there, and everybody's been pushing you around. Why don't you just be incognito? And being incognito, let's take a couple girls and let's go dancing. And the Pope says, you think I can? And I said, sure you can. And so we did. And we had a lovely time. Now, you say, that's hogwash. No, it isn't. He agrees with me. He agrees with me. He says, whatever you think you want to do in your consciousness, you'll do it. Now, laugh at this. Go ahead, laugh at it. You have some member of your family who moved on. Some member of your family who went to the next dimension. And you love them. And you often thought, well, I wonder how my sister's doing, or my mom and papa's doing, or my son, or my whomever that went on. And you say, I'd like to go visit them. And you know how to do it yourself, don't you, son, huh? I'd like to go visit them. Now, how am I going to go visit them? In an out-of-body journey. You just take your thought, and you say, I am going to visit my son, who died at a very early age. And I want to go and see how he's doing on his next dimension, because he didn't spend too long a time here. And so you go to the next dimension, wherever it may be, and there are billions of dimensions that we are in. So, you know, you choose the one. And so you go there, and here's this strapping young fellow, and you say, you're my son? Sure, Mom. You know, well, what you doing over here? Having a ball. How come you left so early? Hey, I came to spread love. I came to let you know the possibilities. And that was what my mission was. Now, you continue working on it, and you'll have more possibilities too, you know. And so, Mom and Dad say, wow, how about that? And so, you talk to the kid. Sylvia, she's one of my ladies at the office, been with me 25 years, you know, just a newcomer with the organization. We're 30 years old this year. And so, Sylvia's brother, whom she loved very much, moved on over. And she says, I'd just love to go and visit him. And I said, great. So we took an OBE together, and I took her to where he was. Well, what he chose to do was to be a guy who lived on the Himalayan mountainside. He created his own, so to speak, several acres of land there on the side of the mountains, filled with tropical plants and flowers, and with, I don't want to say tameful, but with pets of lions and tigers and things like that, and snakes and whatever. And a lovely little waterfall, and he's running around naked, and he was just comfortable as could be and happy as could be. And she went there, and she said, yeah. And she says, can I come back again? He says, not really. He says, you don't belong here. He says, you'll have your own place that makes you happy, but this is not your thing. And she's, oh, but it is being with you. Well, I'm not me anymore. I'm not your brother. I was your brother. I lived in that dimension, in that feeling, but I am not your brother anymore. I am now me, just doing what delights me. But you're not doing anything significant for the universe, and you're not doing anything significant for the world. Hey, I don't have to. I'm just being myself and having fun. That's my purpose in life. Well, the medicine wheel, and the church, what's that, please? Please? They're here, this church, and the medicine wheel program, right? Right? The school. And because that's you. That's all this whole organization is, this wonderful philosophy of its multi-latitude of teaching. It's wonderful. So, in it, you're given the choice of the two directions. To work on your body physically and have it be an ideal vehicle to live in. or to develop your awareness of your divinity, which is within you, and live totally from your divine self. You have those two opportunities. You can join them. Some people join them. Jesus did for a time. But that was not his reality. That's not where he wanted to be. And so he left it. Now, you too can play a game, play the game of the human, but much nicer to play the game of the divine. And when you play the game of the divine, what happens to you? Everybody in your world looks at you and says, there's something fine and good and right about you. I like you. I don't know why I like you, but there's something so beautiful about you. And what's beautiful is that you like yourself. You are divine. And you see, this is kind of nice, isn't it? This is kind of nice. Are you ready? Are you able? Are you willing to be divine? I am. And I think it's a lot of fun, don't you? And here we are. And I always shoot pictures, as you know. And sometimes they work. And most of the time they work. And give, oh, well, look at that flash. Go ahead, you can do it again. Now, I guess it's too much light over that direction. Now, is there light? Yeah. How about that? It doesn't like too much light, but it does like me. And I love this camera. My friends, it is a delight to be with you, a delight to share with you. And if you would like to stop by after lunch at the manse, at the estate, at the mansion of the Randy and Susan Barnes, you will find it located on one of the most priceless pieces of land in all of Farmington. And in that house, you will find two of the most priceless beings in all the world. And any of you who have the privilege of knowing them or being in their presence have an honor more grand than knowing the Pope, because you have known God and divinity straight out. Let's close our eyes for a moment. I am number one. I live from the center of the divine within me. Jesus advised me to realize that God in me is the allness. He said, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but I have come to give you a new commandment, one commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God within you, and thou shalt love thy neighbor in the same way that you love yourself. In other words, you shall create your neighbor in the same way that you create yourself. An infinite living presence within me. I am so grateful to be aware of this and walk the talk, which is impossible if you don't believe it. And if you believe it, it's the most natural thing in the world. And I see each one of you walking the talk of whatever it is you believe. As Jesus said, what wouldst thou of me? I see you walking the talk of whatever you believe and receiving all the blessings and the benefits, because I, in my world, create you good and very good now and forevermore. I love you. I love you. I love you.
That's a great idea.
We have a song, and we have an offering, and a few other things to come. So, are you ready? Thank you for being here. I love you.